part, so we are recording. So I am so excited and so super, super proud of this young lady right here. She is one of my tax deeds and tax lien investor mentees. And Jasheena and I have been working for about a year or a little bit over a year that we've been working together. And this is the first time that we're doing like an interview. Like we've been like secret squirrel. Secret squirrel. I know we have been, right? Secret squirrels working together behind the scenes, building her portfolio of properties. And I'm just really just in awe of what you have accomplished. So Jasheena is a full-time mom of three. And your oldest is how old?
Eight.
Your old, eight. Okay, so there you go, everyone. So a full-time mom of three children, and the oldest is eight. So that means the other two are younger than eight. And she's still able to invest and run her real estate business, investing successfully. She's also a beautiful wife, and she has an amazing husband that's supportive as well too. But it's just so wonderful what you have been able to accomplish. So on this week's Tax Deed Tuesday, we are going to be talking about Jasheena's success and the strategies that she has implemented in her success regarding tax liens and tax deed certificates, right? So welcome!
Thank you so much for having me on this week's Tax Deed Tuesday.
Yes, girl. We're gonna get it. All right, so when you started investing in real estate, did you know anything? Like when you started?
I mean, like, no, I didn't know anything about real estate. I knew I had experience in buying my own personal house, but other than that, I didn't know a lot about real estate. I just knew about being on the buyer side of it for personal reasons.
Right. So like when your own personal transaction. So you started with a clean slate, just like fresh.
Yes.
All right. And what has the journey been so far with creative real estate investing for you?
The journey has been awesome. It's definitely been one that requires a lot of learning and understanding where you fit in, because there are a lot of strategies out there in real estate investing, but all of them may not fit for you. So it's definitely a journey in finding a good fit and getting into the motions of doing everything you need to do to get your business going.
Right, because when we first started out, you learned about wholesaling, right? How to do that successfully. We learned together lease options.
Yes.
How to do that. We learned owner financing. We learned how to do that as well too. And then we went transitioned into tax liens and tax deeds, and then also other creative strategies as well too. So out of all the strategies that you learned coaching with me, which one did you like, which one did you gravitate to?
The tax deeds and tax liens. That's my favorite. That's my baby. I love it.
I don't blame you. It is my favorite as well too. Like I enjoy, you know, doing real estate deals with the other strategies, but I really do have a heart for tax liens and tax deeds, because there's just always opportunity. Like no matter the state, no matter the county, there's 3,141 counties and county equivalents across the United States. So I don't, like we don't even pay for liens, right? Every month the county publishes and updates what's available in their county for purchase, right? So that's right. Why I love it so much too. So no yellow letters. No postcards, no nothing, none of that stuff.
No anything. You apply and you get it and you do what you need to do.
Exactly. So you started when you were in transition, when you were living in one state, way across the country, and then you were investing in a whole nother state. So that's, speak about that, because most people think that they have to start in their backyard or start investing in the state that they live in.
So when I initially started investing in tax liens, I was in El Paso, Texas. El Paso is a great place. However, to invest in these tax lien certificates or tax deeds, you have to have a lot of money up front, because the only way you can get to them is the auction. Learning from your class, Jackie, I learned that there's a lands available list. And these are also lands that have tax deeds, tax liens that were never auctioned off, No one ever bid on them. No one ever took responsibility for them. And I started looking like, hey, I want to be able to get properties in my name. I want to be able to get properties where I am getting my mail money, or I'm being able to do my sales or do whatever I need to do. I can't do it here in El Paso. So we started looking at other states and found out that the state that I like to invest in, hey, all I need to do is put in an application. Now,
that's so good.
Yeah. In the meantime, between time, I'm moving from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Which was a big move. That was a big deal. Your husband, you know, got a new position, and the whole family, we was leaving, right? The whole family had to be uprooted, and this is what we're doing today. We are moving across the country.
Exactly. And this is the second time we moved across the country. First time, my job was affected because now I have to pick up and go. The second time, my business was not affected because, mind you, I'm investing in another state that I don't even live in. All I had to do was jump on the plane with my computer and my hotspot and keep working.
Oh, wow. What a blessing. What did that feel like?
That felt great. That felt great because my business never stopped, but it progressed when I work on it. So even if I'm taking a moment to pack up my family and move across state, or I'm taking a moment to spend time with my kids or anything like that, my business is still working because I have my applications in process to get these properties. All I need to do is drop the money off. And then,
that's so good.
On top of that, you know, if I put in more, I get more. So,
so you are in control of your time.
I'm in control of
In control of your time, in control of your schedule and how you manage your business. And even through that transition of moving across the country to support your husband in relocating with his new position, your business did not stop. Plus, you're able to be with your children during that period of time and help them through the transition. And it was just a peaceful moment. It wasn't like an uproar or anything like that in your life.
There was no uproar to get settled after moving back across country. I think it took us maybe about 3 or 4 months. In those 3 or 4 months, I still work. And now that we are a little bit more settled, I put more time into my business, especially the tax deed investing part. I put more time into that every week, but I don't have to do it every day because it pays off if I put 2 hours, if I put 10. The payoff is up to me.
Absolutely. So that's going to be my next question. Like, how much time do you actually dedicate to like your research and looking at the list and determining which properties you're going to actually go after, apply for, you know, bid on, whatever that looks like for you?
I can say for each property, I don't put in more than 3 hours for each property. I definitely don't. I apply for the properties. That process is, it's very random. I may take 1 hour today and apply for properties. I may take 30 minutes tomorrow. I may take 3 hours next week. But it's just random to apply for those properties. Once I get those properties back in my hand and get the details that, hey, we do want to go ahead and offer this property to you, I can say it takes about 1 to 2 hours to go through all the code enforcement, the details, to see how much it will cost me to either repair it or to sell it or to keep it as a rental property. So I do a whole analysis in under 3 hours.
That's so good. That's so good. I wonder, like, who taught you that?
I tell you, you should really reach out to her. Her name is Jackie Jackson. I can give you her phone number. I can
That's
give
so good. It right now. So, I mean, that's my favorite part about this whole strategy is the due diligence. Like, I really kind of, you know, I really love it. Like, I really love just sitting down and going through the public records and the official records and cross-referencing the information. Like, I'm a beast at it. I know. I love it. Like, I could click, 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 find everything that I'm looking for, and I transfer that wisdom and that knowledge onto my students. So, what is your experience when you're looking through public records and official record search?
I mean, after like getting instruction from you and going through your class, I love going through public records, and it's actually easy peasy for me. It's funny because my husband is my partner, and he'll look at a property and he'll say, hey, I think this is great. You know, blase, 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 this is awesome. And I'm like, no, we need to do our due diligence. And he's amazed at how fast I can go through and say, we have this many liens. We have this going on. This lien will not survive this. This lien will survive it. And we need to look at this. you know, or there was a structure, there was structural damage. So we need to look at whether we need to condemn, whether we need to rebuild, or just sell it.
Right. And he's like, genius. She's a genius. My wife is a genius.
Where did you find that? Oh, I just went here and I clicked here and clicked here and did this. And this is who owned it. This is who sold it. And this is who did what.
Super, super dope. So in a couple of Tax Deed Tuesdays ago, right, because we've been doing this for quite some time, I had shared that there are six different ways that you can be successful as a tax lien and tax deed investor, right? So the first way is to invest in tax lien certificates at the auction directly. You can also do the over-the-county certificates if you like. That's also available. You can also do the tax deed auction, right? You can go to the auctions and participate in tax deed auction sales. You can communicate and contact the owner prior to the auction and negotiate with them. That's four. And number five is the lands available list, right? So land that went to auction, nobody bought it, and the county now owns it. So now you can communicate directly with the county or the state and make them an offer. And then last but not least, you have the surplus list, right? The overages and the excess funds. So that's like number six. So out of all of those different ways to monetize and be successful in the tax lien and tax deed strategies, which is the one that you decided that she's gonna focus on?
The lands available list.
Yeah, I like that. Cause I know that one don't move. It's like, you know, it's kind of slow and steady.
Slow and steady. And if you think about it, as a real estate investor, you're looking for houses, period, point blank. They can be ugly, they can be pretty, they can be, you know, ready to roll, ready to demolish, whatever. You're looking for a property. You're trying to get your hands on a property that is feasible, also that's within your budget, and that will get you the amount of profit that you're looking to get out of it. So with the lands available list, you don't have to deal with negotiation. Well, you don't have to deal with people thinking that it's worth more than what it is. All they want is the money that they are owed. 9 times out of 10, that money is less than the house is worth.
So, and when you say they, you're talking about the county, right? The county is going to tell you how much they're selling it for. Normally, it is the total sum of the delinquent taxes that are still outstanding for that property and any penalties and fees that have like accrued. But you get a choice. You get a say in that. You're like, oh, well, no, that's too much. Or, oh, okay, yeah, you only want $3,000 for it? No problem. Check is in the mail. You know what I mean?
You don't have to compete with anybody else. I mean, I remember when I first started with you and I was looking at the lands available list before I started actually putting my time and my applications in. Here's a house that I'm watching just to see how it works. This house is worth $120,000. Person applied for it. The other person that I don't know who they are, I was watching the court documents. This person applied for this house and got this house for under $12,000. There were people living in this house. There was nothing wrong with it. My best friend lived two houses down.
Wow.
So I had her check the house out for me just to be nosy a little bit. And because the opportunity was there, these people didn't pay taxes, or the previous owner or whoever they're renting from didn't pay taxes. So now another investor was able to walk in and say, you know, I'm going to go ahead and take this property. I'm going to go ahead and use this property for whatever it needs to be used for. I'm going to put this money back into circulation in the county so that everybody gets, you know, what they need to keep everything going. And it was amazing. I was like, you know what? If it's this easy, I need to jump on it too.
Yeah, it's a real thing. You can definitely acquire properties for pennies, and I really do mean it, like pennies on the dollar compared to what their actual fair market value is, or even compared to their assessed value. Right. So this is a great transition for us to talk about your deal. All right, so I'm so excited for you because I know that you have been pacing yourself, and you know, you work part-time or whatever, but you have been successful in your acquisition. How many times, how many deals have you done so far?
I've done 6 so far when it comes to tax deed investing.
That's so cool. I'm super excited. So can I do like the happy dance real quick?
Yes.
That's so cool. And you know what's so interesting? I just, so everyone is really clear, like Jayshina bought these properties sight unseen. Right? Because you did not live in the state that you're investing in. So I have a whole lot of people that ask me that question all the time. Like, do you really buy properties out of state without actually seeing them and so on? And I'm like, yeah, there's a way to do it, you know? Doesn't mean that it has to be your eyes. It just somebody's eyes. Gotta be honest, but it doesn't have to be your eyes. Yeah, somebody's eyes gotta see it just to make sure that there's actually a property there. But it doesn't necessarily have to be your eyes. So successfully, 6 properties that you have been able to invest in sight unseen. And I'm just really proud of you regarding that. So that's super, super amazing. So you and your husband, you were sharing with me earlier that you and your husband had an opportunity to just like take a little mini vacation weekend and go look at you guys' properties, right?
We did. And it was amazing to actually invest and know that you're working on something and then to actually see it, to see, hey, this is mine. Like, it's tangible now.
Right. Like, you could touch it.
Exactly. Like, I can touch it. I can knock on the door. I mean, even one of the properties, I was able to actually, like, walk up inside the property. No one lives there, but I was able to get in and see it, and I know it's mine, so.
Yeah, but that feels, like, super amazing. Like, okay, I'm not trespassing. It's mine.
Who are you gonna call? It's my property. I'm inspecting it right now.
That's super, super cool. So on average, right, the properties that you were able to successfully acquire during this particular strategy, because I know you're investing and you're sending out your letters and you're still doing the other strategy, but this is the one that you decided to focus on. On average, what is your spend on your acquisition?
My average is about $3,000.
Okay. So about $3,000 per property. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. And then for each of those properties, on average, what has been their values or what has been the value ranges of those properties?
The value range has been anywhere from about $45,000 to about $65,000. A little bit more than
$65,000. So let me get this straight. So you're telling me, ma'am, that you've been buying $3,000 properties for properties that have values of upwards of $65,000 for each one?
Yes. And then just to make it a little bit more interesting, one of the properties that my husband and I looked at that we're looking to acquire, the bid for it is $3,600, give or take a little bit. But the other houses in the area are comping for $120,000.
You know what? You better work, Sheena.
Okay.
Better get that deed and stop playing. You better get it.
Yeah. Okay. It's exciting. It's definitely exciting. And it's like, it's unbelievable to know, hey, well, I did send this check, but here it is now. I have this house that needs minor repairs and I can use it for a rental property or I can sell it. It needs minor repairs. And we're talking about a 6-bedroom house, full basement, upstairs, downstairs, full attic, completely done with a bedroom. So takes a little bit of work and I can put someone in it, within a couple weeks.
What? A blessing.
Yes.
Is all I can say. It's just, that's such an amazing blessing. And the strategy, I can't emphasize enough how successful people can be about it. And I think the real estate investors that really take advantage of the strategy, they don't necessarily talk about it.
No. I'm guilty. I don't talk about it. A lot of people ask questions and they'll say, well, how's the investing business going? You know, what's going on? Tell me about it. Like, oh, it's going great. You know, I put in a little work. I get a lot of return. It's the truth. But, you know, it's not a strategy that everyone's familiar with, you know, mm-hmm. So not something that comes up in conversation really. And it's easy to explain, but if people are not familiar with it, it doesn't sound. No, believe me, it's 100% completely true, honest.
Right.
Money. You can put money back into the neighborhood that you're investing in. You can put somebody in a home that really needs one that's affordable. So
exactly.
So many win-wins using the tax deed strategy.
There absolutely is. I mean, real estate investors, we do so much good in our communities that we don't always get the street cred, you know, that we deserve, because kind of like looked at as like ambulance chasers. You know, like, you know, insurance, you know, ambulance chasers or accident attorneys or something like that. But the truth is, real estate investors, we provide a lot of benefit in our community. So we revitalize houses, which put properties back on the county tax roll, which now are the taxes for those properties are contributing to the school system, the emergency systems, the water systems, all these different systems. We are giving people jobs. We're giving, we're supporting local contractors and suppliers and all these things. Like, so we do so much. And oh, don't ever get no recognition for it. We don't get anything for it. They be like, are you a realtor? And we be like, no. No, I'm not a realtor. I love my realtors, and I, you know, I got a whole bunch of realtor friends, but no, I'm not a realtor. You know, I'm a real estate investor. I'm proud of it. I'm
an investor. So I invest in real estate. And I invest in real estate so that I can help other people. Such as the county, so I can help other people who need a place to live that may not meet the traditional ways of getting a place. You know, they may not be able to pass the credit check for an apartment complex, you know, but they have the money, they have a legit job, but they just can't pass the credit check, you know. Mm-hmm. Or somebody wants to buy a home but they can't get the financing from the bank. So here I have my house that I got at the tax deed, and my job is to help you out.
Yeah. Provide them with an opportunity. And there's a whole population of individuals that are underserved that way, right? You know, they have funds and, you know, tentatively could qualify, but they just need more time to address whatever it is that's on their credit, or they need time to start all over, whatever that looks like. Real estate investors offer those creative financing opportunities for people to get into houses like that. And it gives them the opportunity for what they need to provide for their families. That's pretty dope. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? To piggyback on that, another one of the houses, the one that I was saying that comes for about 120, it is in an area that is going through regentrification. Now, it is on the side of the lower income side. And that house is sitting there with no one in it, no one's using it. But there's so many people applying because they want to be in that area.
Yeah.
If you're able to get that house, you know, and put it back on the tax roll, I can get somebody easily put in that house, you know, on the lower income side of town. They can buy the house, they can rent it with public assistance. I don't care. Just as long as that house is back there for somebody to use.
Wow. And yeah, the demand is high. I haven't heard anyone tell me that they don't want someplace to live, right? So, that's like a basic human need. Someone's always going to want someplace to live, right? So yeah, that's a thing. It's just like food, you know, food, shelter, you know, clothing. Those are necessities that all human beings need and desire. Everyone deserves to have a safe place that they can rest their head at night and feel secure about that, right? So we provide that security.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So good. So what would you say to a new investor or someone who's like timid about starting, you know, because how did you feel investing in yourself to get a mentor, to get a coach? What was some of the things that you were thinking to yourself?
The biggest thing for me is when I discussed it with my husband and we decided, hey, we're going to go ahead and reach out and get a coach. It was one of those, I really want to get into real estate. I really feel like I could be successful at it. I just don't know which way to go. And I need to get someone on my side who's successful, who can guide me and help me reach my goals. So that's where Jackie comes in. And Jackie has been a great coach. Like, through everything, I've learned so much. Things that I've heard other people speak of that they didn't know. You know, they say, oh, how did you know that? My coach worked with me, you know? Well, I didn't know that. I just jumped in and I started getting resources off of here and here and here. Those resources are great, but if you don't have someone in your corner to help you put it together, you probably won't go as far. And even if you do go as far, it's going to take you longer to get as far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it definitely pays off. And having a coach will pay you back on your first transaction.
Yes. Because, I mean, who makes, you know, like, you know, upwards of $65,000 for a property they bought for $3,000?
Exactly. Exactly. So it pays you right back. Definitely say, I would say get a coach. Definitely get a coach. Definitely invest in Jackie Jackson. Hey, because her methods, her teachings, I'm a witness. You can definitely be successful with them. Another thing that I kind of wanted to touch on too, is you have to be patient and consistent. You can't jump in and say, well, I want to learn everything about wholesaling. I want to learn everything about tax deeds. No, you have to take your time. You have to learn the rules and regulations of each. You have to learn what you can do. You have to be consistent. You can't go in and apply for one tax deed or tax lien certificate and then walk away.
It's so true. You're so true. It's so funny because I had one of my students. It was so funny. So we went through our training together. It really made me laugh, and you know, they're gonna know that I'm talking about them, but I'm not gonna say no names. So they went to the training success, everything is awesome, everything is great, and it's implementation time now, right? We gotta run, right? This is it, this is our time, this is our moment. All right, so implement, makes one phone call, wasn't successful. Well, I wouldn't even say he wasn't successful because he got somebody on the phone and had a conversation with them. Right. So he was able to practice what he was supposed to say and stuff like that. But it just wasn't the right person. It was like a relative of the person that he was fine. So to me, that was a success. I'm like, can you pass my number on? Like, you know him? Well, tell him I'm looking for him, you know, like whatever that is. Right. So it's so funny. So I like my phone blows up. You know, I get up like a whole bunch of text messages. I look and I was like, what's going on? Like, I just bombed. And I was like, wait, let's rewind. Let's talk about it. I was like, what happened? Well, I called and this is what happened. And I was like, okay, so you did, you went through the skip trace. You found the person, you found the family, relative of the person, whatever, but you didn't find the person directly. And what happened? Well, it just wasn't them. And I was like, okay, so share with me how you failed. Because you executed beautifully. I'm like, happens. Like, you're not always gonna get the person on the phone, but you actually had the opportunity to have an intelligent conversation. I was like, bruh, that's a win.
That's half the battle. That's half the battle. You got a correct phone number. That's half the battle. You got a correct phone number. You got somebody on the phone, like you said, so.
And they didn't tell you it was the wrong number. They were like, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so. And I was like, you know what? Here's the funny part about it. Like, how did you know that you were not talking to the right person? And they were like, because I don't know who you are, I'm going to pretend like I'm not that person. People do that all the time. So I was like, you know, just continue the conversation and let them know that you're interested in talking to him, you know, or her, or whatever, because you got some money for them, like whatever that conversation looks like, and give your number and have them call you back, or, you know, something, you know, just don't give up so easily. And I was like, bruh, you made one phone call. You are so far from failing. That's just not how this works, you know? So I don't want them, I never want anybody to believe that this particular process is complex, but it does take consistency and it does take discipline for you to actually keep going. All right. So one no or one closed door is not the end of the world. You got to keep going.
You definitely have to keep going. And like I said, for me, another reason I chose the tax deeds, because as Jackie stated earlier, I have 3 kids, I have a husband. You know, and everybody has a full-time thing going on, full-time school, full-time position. I have other little side things that I do for income. So all the time, I don't have a lot of time to sit down and do the cold calls or do the marketing. So I use the tax deed strategy as my main thing. And then in my spare time, I pick up the other strategies. I'll do marketing letters. I'll do my bandit signs. I'll do, you know, cold calls. But those are my backup strategies, and the tax deed works for me. So, and I say that to say, I've ran into so many people that say, oh, I have two kids. I don't have time like you. I have a full-time job. I don't have time for you. I can apply for a tax deed in my sleep. I literally will pick up my phone and go to the state and apply while I'm awake for like 30 minutes or 40 minutes in the middle of the night, put my phone back down. And I've done enough for my business at least for 2 or 3 days in 30 minutes. So in my pajamas, in my bed, by the light of my phone because nothing else is on. So yeah, so just always patience, consistency, know your rules and regulations, and when you're viewing your properties too with the tax deed, have a plan. Like, hey, at best, I can do this with this house. At worst, I can do this with this house. This is my budget. This is my window of profit that I want to make. And these are the things that I can do within that window. And that way, when you see your property, if you bought it sight unseen, when you see your property, you won't have any unrealistic expectations.
That's really good. I like that. Okay, that's a real, really good tip, because you have to buy it right? Yeah. You have to buy it taking into consideration any possible risks. Now, there may not be many, or there may be some, but you're going to mitigate those risks by doing your research and your due diligence in advance. But if you are conservative in, you know, when you're buying your acquisition, even if there is a unknown that is available, right? An unknown variable that's part of that acquisition process, you still have adjusted, you know, or made concessions for that so that you can still be successful or overcome it, or, you know, pivot if you need to pivot. And then the second thing that I heard you say is, have an exit strategy, like know what you're gonna do. What you gonna do?
I mean, you can look at something and say, oh, this is a great deal. I'm getting this house for $200. But you get out there and it's a field full of burned flowers. You know, so now you got
burnt flowers.
You got a field full of burnt flowers. And you're expecting to, oh, I'm going to sell this for like $20,000. No, you'll probably sell it for about $500. But, you know.
You made $300.
You made $300. And if you set up the expectation, the worst is I can make $300. The best thing is I can make $60,000. So you're already set up and you have your plans for. I'm just like, just always be prepared. Don't always be prepared if you're buying sight unseen. Don't have the expectation that you're buying a $1 million mansion for $1,000.
That's correct, right? I love it. So, hey, if you want to have the confidence to buy property sight unseen, I don't recommend it. But in my course and in my coaching program, I tell you how to actually lay eyes on a property that you're interested in, even if it's physically not your eyes. So somebody gonna see it, you know, so that could be part of your decision-making process, and you don't have to have any, like, you know, sleepless nights about it, right? Because you've already worked that into the process for you to complete your due diligence successfully. But if you're interested in learning about tax liens and tax deeds, whether it's in your state that you live in, or you're interested in investing virtually in another state way across the country that you don't live in, then you definitely want to check out my website at www.thejackiejackson.com and connect with me. You can schedule a free strategy session where we can have a conversation. We'll see if we're a good fit for each other and see if we can help each other. You can learn to invest in real estate, and I get to do what I do best, which is teach people how to be successful investing. So I love it. I love teaching, and my students, they enjoy the way that I share the information, and they're, as you can see, they're mega successful. So thank you so much, Daishina, for allowing me to interview you. It's been well overdue.
Yes.
Literally well overdue. I literally talk to you like all the time. And I'm like, you know what? I need to interview her. Like, for real, for real.
Yes. I finally said still long enough.
Yeah, still enough for me to like get you in a minute and get you in a moment. Oh, let me see your t-shirt, because I see that you're wearing your Sheena Vibes Homes t-shirt. So well, that's pretty dope.
Up here.
Sheena Vibes Houses. Good job. All right. So she sees. she took it from the bag. She's wearing her branding, so everybody know what she do. All right, it's not even like a question.
I wear it on the walks around the neighborhood to the store. I have different colors.
Exactly, this is what I do. My uniform. All right, Sheena. Well, thank you so much for being on this week's Tax Bean Tuesday. I will see you guys soon. Thank you.
No problem.